Teaching an effective yoga class experience is more than just grouping a series of yoga pose shapes together. The methods and approach you use to teach classes are the how of the process of learning, but oftentimes we can get caught up in the how that we fail to really grasp why we're even doing what we're doing. As you venture out into the world of teaching after your yoga teacher training, you will benefit greatly to teach based upon a solid foundation of knowing the why behind how you are going to sequence and put a class together. Welcome to the Beyond Yoga Teacher Training Podcast, the podcast for yoga teachers to learn tips, techniques, and teaching approaches in order to build confidence and success teaching yoga. I am your host, Sandy Raper, and on this podcast, I am going to share with you my strategies and approach to teaching, along with stories from many teaching experiences that have supported me within a thriving teaching career for over two decades. Thank you for joining me today. Let's get back to today's episode. I speak often to the fact that nothing is random when it comes to sequencing. There is an intuitive intelligence that is to be infused within the art of sequencing. And if we're going to expand upon this description of sequencing, it will be important to understand that in order to create, or co-create really, a masterpiece of an experience through the container of a yoga class, then how you approach sequencing and your understanding of the implications of why or your purpose is vital. In today's episode, I thought we would break down and explore the concept of your overall teaching methodology. First of all, understanding that methodology is defined as a system of methods used in a particular area of study or activity. Can you clearly state what your teaching methodology is when it comes to leading a yoga class? Are you able to specifically write out your approach, your method, the method that guides how you prepare and also deliver an effective yoga class experience? I speak a lot on the podcast about the importance of clarity and understanding when it comes to knowing why you even desire to teach yoga and be a yoga teacher. And with that, the importance of clarity in defining your role, I believe that when it comes to yoga teacher training, there is a big myth or misconception that once you complete a YTT, then you magically become or turn into a yoga teacher at the end of the training. It sounds too far-fetched, actually, but it's believable, right? Yet I do believe that this misconception traps many of you and that you venture out into the experience of YTT only to find the complete opposite. This concept of being a yoga teacher is actually going to take some work, a lot of work actually, beyond just an initial love of yoga. It's important that you love what you're going to teach. However, it's equally important that you commit to doing the work that is going to be asked and required of you to make teaching a successful experience for you and for the students you lead in class. In this episode, I want to touch on a couple of areas that will hopefully support you within this clarity I've mentioned earlier. I truly believe that once you grasp this space of clarity and understanding, then it's going to add a layer of ease to the effort that I just mentioned that your commitment to teaching yoga is going to ask of you. To begin our time of exploration into this area, I thought I would first highlight two approaches that are taking place in the yoga class setting. Although I'll speak distinctly to the two as if they are separate, what I also want to highlight is that we can experience both approaches corresponding together in the collective experience of a yoga class. It's important to evaluate your approach because it will impact your role in the yoga classroom. We'll start with the teacher-centered approach. Within this learning approach, the methodology is one of active instruction or presentation, with passive receiving of information by the student from the instructor. Basically, the teacher or instructor imparts a set of directives and instructions, and students implement what they are being directed to do. If you want to dig a little deeper into the understanding of your role, then take a listen to episode 73, Are You a Yoga Teacher or Yoga Instructor? This episode would be a great episode to support you further in understanding your approach and teaching methodology. As teachers, we all have a distinct teaching methodology, and it's important that you take time to define and understand yours better so that you lessen any confusion when it comes to your role in the classroom. All right, let's talk about the student-centered approach of learning. Within this teaching methodology, the active concept of facilitation shows up. More within a collaborative approach, or co-creation, I like to call it, for students to learn and ultimately create their unique autonomous experience in the yoga class setting. The teacher models and acts as a facilitator, providing and facilitating an experience with directives that invite curious exploration and choice. The student ultimately chooses how they want to learn in the experience and how they will go about learning from their unique practice experience while still residing under the guidance and supervision of the teacher. The main difference between teacher-centered and student-centered approaches to teaching is that within teacher-centered approaches, students' focus is completely on the teacher, whereas in a student-centered classroom, both students and teachers have equal focus. The mission is co-creation. Whereas when the approach is teacher-centered, students passively explore what the teacher has imparted and offered. The experience remains solely within the realm of the experience that the teacher came in to provide. I'm highlighting both approaches so that you can become better informed on how you approach teaching or how you lead a yoga class. I want to be careful not to reflect one approach as being good or better. Let's just say that there is a difference. It's important that you understand the difference because it will impact your methodology and teaching experience. Next, I want to share with you three particular areas of evaluation and focus when it comes to defining your teaching methodology. Within these three areas, I'll discuss them as opposites. It is my hopes that within evaluating the difference between the two, you'll begin to evaluate how this shows up in your approach to teaching. I often find that in order to know what something is more fully, that an important learning component is to know what it's not. Let's begin with relevance versus inconsequential. I found that when something in my life provides relevance, that it has a greater opportunity of offering a lasting effort being made towards my continuation of the activity or the pursuit. On the other hand, when something seems insignificant, inconsequential, then there is a lessening of the duration that it will sustain in my daily routine or within a season of my life. I think this is an important designation to consider in your approach and overall teaching methodology. It speaks greatly to how you organize and sequence your classes. Are the class plans and sequences that you are offering providing relevance for your students? Are the sequences functional and relevant for daily living? Is your approach to sequencing one that is more about creativity and unusual movement patterns and progressions? Or do you organize your classes within a structured plan that moves students sequentially through their bodies where they can find relevance for daily living through the practice experience? Is your approach to sequencing one that is more creatively focused and has unusual movement patterns and progressions? Or do you organize your classes within a structured plan that moves students sequentially through their body where they can find relevance and functional movement for daily living? It's important to note the functional piece of sequencing when it comes to relevance of our overall class plans. Are you providing students with an opportunity to develop functional awareness within the yoga asana shapes and supporting them in the transition of relevance as they remember their ability to apply all that they learn on the yoga mat out into their experience of daily living? Students find relevance in living their yoga outside of the yoga class setting. They remember and apply the experience they create in the yoga class out in their world and hopefully find relevance for daily living through the discipline of their yoga practice. Does your current teaching methodology, the why that backs your teaching, reflect relevance within the classes you lead, or could it quite possibly be insignificant and inconsequential? The next two comparative words are descriptive versus prescriptive. A descriptive approach is one that implies analysis and adaptation, whereas a prescriptive approach implies what one should do. What are your initial thoughts about these two words as applied within the context of teaching a yoga class? I think the biggest observation that I find out within the classes that I've taken is that many teachers are approaching teaching through a prescriptive lens. You can even hear it within the choice of words used to direct and lead the class experience. This might sound like, "I want you to blank," or "you should feel this blank." Sounds subtle, right? But the implications behind these statements express much more, and these small words make a significant impact on how you approach teaching. Once again, I want to be very clear here. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm trying to communicate in this episode. You can teach from this approach, certainly. My intent is not to be prescriptive by telling you what I think you should or shouldn't do, or how you should or shouldn't teach. Rather, my intent is to pique your curiosity to observe and evaluate your approach and get clear on the impact that various approaches will make on the learning environment in the yoga class. My desire for you is that you begin to take full responsibility for the type of teacher you will be, for your teaching methodology, and that you will be clear on what and why you teach what you teach. The mark of maturation for a yoga teacher is the choosing for yourself what your approach will be. The responsibility is yours to decide for yourself and to be in an ongoing quest of development, absorbing and applying all that you learn and glean from your teaching experiences so that your teaching experiences will truly be yours, a reflection of you, rather than a replication of an experience where you are reciting or imitating how you think you should be as a teacher. All right, let's move along. The next pairing of words, independence versus dependence. This can be a tricky one. If you aren't careful, you could possibly be teaching students dependence and attachment to you as the teacher. Once again, this approach most likely falls into that teacher-centered approach. What's happening in this situation is that the teacher is actively instructing the class and presenting the sequenced class they have prepared with possibly minimal space for adaptation to the plan that they had for the class. This type of approach could present itself as the teacher staying solely on their yoga mat practicing as they teach. I speak to this often, and I'll reinforce again, this can be your approach to teaching. Well, I call it instructing at that point, but most likely you will miss a great opportunity to educate and up-level the experience by stepping off of your mat and teaching to what you're actually seeing taking place in the room, instead of teaching to what you think might be taking place and what you think might be going on within the student's experience. This is where that student-centered approach of analysis and adaptation comes in. When you're off of your mat and immersed in the room, you will analyze what you see, and you will begin to offer directives and cues that address the real-time needs or adaptations that are revealed, rather than teaching from an approach where you go in with a planned sequence and a catalog of rote cues. Now, it is necessary, especially when you begin teaching, that you have a catalog of go-to cues to use. But here's where responsibility comes in again. There will come a time in your teaching experiences where you'll find yourself at a crossroads. This crossroad will present itself with yet another choice to be made. Which direction will you take in your development and growth? You can decide to stay where you are, teaching the same sequence and the same set of cues, and hoping that the directives that you've memorized will serve and meet the needs of the students. And they will to some extent. Or at this crossroads, you will be presented with a choice to take a direction of faith, really, faith and trust in yourself to analyze, discern, and make necessary adaptations to your approach to teaching that include the pulling away from certainty and what you learned in YTT and steps that will take you forward into unfamiliar territory or uncomfortable spaces even, where you begin to teach what you need to learn because you know that it is within that disciplined space of learning and growing into the teacher you desire to be, that you will find the confidence and assurance that will keep you moving forward in this expanded version of yourself as a yoga teacher. It's your choice. So in this last set of contrasting words of evaluation, independence applies not only to the approach of teaching students, but it applies to you as teacher. You can certainly remain dependent upon a set sequence with the same rote cues staying firmly planted on your mat instructing the class. You can do that, and you can share an experience with students where what you are actually teaching students is dependence, and that the practice experience is built upon their need to see you to know where they should be going in the practice, which takes themselves ultimately outside of themselves and makes them reliant, even attached, to you and your experience of the practice. Or you can choose independence. Independence for yourself as a teacher when you step off of your mat and trust yourself as you step out into the freedom of teaching the real-time encounter that's right in front of you. If I sound like I'm highly encouraging you to pursue this approach of independence, then that's exactly what I'm doing. Why? Because from my experience, the moment I chose this approach many years ago, it expanded my awareness and methodology in a way like none other. The concept and experience of teaching from this approach and methodology provides a beautiful opportunity to experience the working of something much bigger. This approach is expansive and less restricted than an approach where we remain in the recall space of our minds, giving prescriptive instructions. And most importantly, it fulfills the call to service and connection, within the co-creative experience that emerges through the setting of a yoga class. For these reasons, I want all of you teachers to be equipped and understanding better for yourself why you teach, and that the how, the choice of your teaching methodology, does matter. As I close out today's episode, I want to encourage you. If you are listening and you are a yoga teacher, then I want to encourage you to keep teaching. Keep teaching, keep evaluating, and seeking the expansion of your understanding of the practice. Keep practicing. Be a student. Your best preparation to teach will come not from just the time you devote to preparing and planning your class sequences, but it will come from your personal practice time that will naturally spill over and be infused in how you show up and teach the classes you lead. If you're listening and you are contemplating a teacher training, then keep exploring and seek out the best fit for you in this experience. Not all YTTs are created equal, and it will serve you well to spend time evaluating various programs to understand better their approach and teaching methodology. Lastly, it is a treat to spend time with you each week. I understand the process of teaching and growing as a yoga teacher and student of the practice. I also understand the beauty that each teacher possesses as a teacher, because no one can teach like you. I am here to support you, encourage you, and equip you to go out and pursue this most worthy endeavor of teaching yoga. Until we meet again, I'll look forward to connecting with you in the next episode. Hey, are you seeking resources that will help benefit you in your development and growth as a yoga teacher? Well, what about free resources? Well, I'm excited to share with you that I have several for you on my website at sandyraper.com. That's SandyRaper. Go check it out, sandyraper.com. I want to support and equip you with all that you need so that you can be successful and thrive in your development and growth as a teacher. Check out the show notes. There's a link that you can find there, or head over to my website, and I can't wait to share these resources with you. Until we meet again, thank you. Thank you for joining me today, and I wish you well along life's journey, and I'll look forward to spending time with you in the next episode.